Department of Health. My name is Yogaz Machalamba. I'm the committee secretary. My role today is to preside over the election of an acting chairperson. If the chairperson is, according to Rule 159, if the chairperson is able to perform her functions as the chairperson, the committee must elect one of its members to be the acting chairperson. I will therefore call for nomination. Yes, Ms. Ndaba.
My name is Nomhlanhla Ndaba. I want to nominate Honorable Fish Mahlalela to be the acting chairperson of the portfolio committee.
Thank you very much. Is there any other second? Yes, Dr. Maisela.
I am Dr. Maisela, and I duly second the nomination of Honorable Fish Mahlalela as the acting chair of this committee. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Are there any objections? There are no objections. Are there any other nominations? There are no nominations. Congratulations, Mr. Mahlalela. You are now the acting chairperson of the Portfolio Committee on Health until Ms. Dundra comes back. Thank you. Can I also ask Mr. Mahlalela if he agrees with the, he accepts the nomination?
He's already there.
Thank you. I've already accepted the nomination, so I'm sitting in front here. No, thanks very much, and good morning, everybody, and thanks very much for electing me to act until the chairperson, Honorable Tunjo, comes back. As you know, last year she did indicate that she is going on sick leave to have a major operation. So she was supposed to come back in February, but the doctor further extended her sick leave until the end of this month. Pending the whether she, the extent to which she's able to recover. We are meeting at a time of the first, it's our first meeting of the year after we went to recess and the holidays, and hope that honorable members had an opportunity to rest, recharge, and energize. And we are starting 2017, unfortunately, with a very sad note. Sad note in a sense that, as you will recall, last week, on Wednesday, the health ombudsman released a report that in relation to the death of mental ill patients. You'll recall that last year it emerged that there were 36 mental health patients that have passed on in various NGOs. Then the ombudsman then released a report on Wednesday. Well, the report, it's very disturbing because it then came to the realization that there is a provisional. And the ombudsperson emphasized that matter. Provisional 94 people who have died, patients who have died, not 36. And unfortunately, at the time when the MEC, former MEC, was reporting in September about the 36, according to the ombudsperson, on more than 77 people have already passed off at the time. And he's saying provisionally because there might be many people who might still be discovered in the process. The DG is not in our midst today because we had a discussion with her and she requested not to be part of the meeting because one of the recommendations of the health ombudsperson is that the minister must set up a team. So the team was appointed over the weekend and then they started working yesterday. And then, as you will know, that currently the senior management of the Department of Health in Gauteng has been suspended as a result of this. So she's assisting to put system in place and working with the team, debriefing and briefing the team that the minister has appointed. And she indicated that they've already started working yesterday and unfortunately what they've discovered is very horrible. Because regardless that the Gauteng indicated that they are closing these centers, almost all the centers are still operational. There are still patients there, as we speak. So the team, therefore, is assisting that team to work and make sure that all these facilities, all these NGOs facilities are closed, and patients are then transferred to various psychiatric hospitals and where possible be returned to life as it may. She was indicating that life as it may has indicated that they can allow back about 600 patients. But they are more than that. Patients, so they have to see to get other psychiatric facilities to be able to send them. Honourable members, we'll just have to advise how, as a Portfolio Committee, we did issue a statement. We just have to advise how then us as the Portfolio Committee we should react on this report going forward, because the act says the ombudsperson reports to the minister and then the minister on an annual basis tables the report of the ombudsperson. But this is a tragedy. Are we going to wait for that annual report? Or we want to have a way how to handle this matter beyond the report being given to the minister? And if we do, what is it that we think we can play as a Portfolio Committee on this matter? We just have to discuss that in advice, how then do we deal with it. And then the minister is expected to report on the implementation of the recommendation within 45 days, on what steps has he done, and are we going to be waiting for that 45 days, or what are we doing? We just have to get your views and so that we're able to then say how do you take the process forward. And then secondly, we want to apologize for last week, the manner how things were handled around the public hearings, because we were not informed about the process. We just got into the process at a very late stage, without having have even a discussion as a Portfolio Committee on this policy matter around the full implementation of this strategy around non-communicable diseases and obesity, and the extent to which, therefore, we clarify ourselves as a portfolio committee on this matter. Next week there will be another final round of the public hearings. As you recall, there was a huge response. According to finance, they've received about close to 70 individuals and institutions who wanted to come and make a presentation to the portfolio committee. But there's no decision yet. We'll hear from the minister when he tables the finance bill, whether this matter with the budget, with this, whether what step is going to take, because in the last budget, that's where he indicated that he intends to introduce sugar beverages, a sweetened beverages tax. We'll then hear when he tables his speech in this month, how is they intend to take this process forward. But the portfolio, the select committee or the standing committee on finance felt it's necessary then to have a discussion around this policy perspective so that we're able to have a broader understanding, so that by the time the bill comes or the law comes into place, at least we'll have understood the dynamics around this matter. So next week, again on Tuesday, there will be a second round of this public hearing in relation to this bill. Yeah, I should end my comment. And then we have asked the department to come and present. Unfortunately, we could not deal with the first quarter, as you'll recall, because of the local government elections and all other processes. When we came back, it was already towards the second quarter, and we focused on the annual report and the BRRR, and now we're in the third quarter. So we felt that it will be futile exercise to start from the first quarter, second quarter, and third quarter. So we felt let's deal with the third quarter because it covers all the other two quarters. That's the reason why we are then handling it in that particular fashion. Thanks very much. I want us to comment on this issue of the mental health. Honorable James, Honorable Ndaba, Honorable Maisa.
Thank you very much, Chair, and I apologize for being late. Let me say on the question of the 94 deaths that the report prepared by the Ombudsman, Dr. Makhoba, is a very distinguished report, and I believe that he distinguished himself in doing such a thorough investigation and also producing such a concise report. It's also a question in our view that the minister distinguished himself in revealing what happened at those various institutions. I would recommend for the portfolio committee that we request Dr. Makhoba to table that report in committee as well. And I would want to propose that the committee takes it upon itself to suggest to Parliament that there be a national debate, or debate of national importance on this particular question. So that would be our recommendation. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Chair. Chair, I want to firstly tender my apology that I will request to leave the meeting early because I have an ad hoc committee that will be starting at 10. So with Honorable Joyce, maybe she can come out at 10, at 5 to 10, but I'll have to leave the meeting early. And with regards to the tragedy, Chairperson, I think all of us, Chair, we are very much shocked with the report that was presented by the Ombudsman. But I want to support what Honorable James have said now, that maybe
we need to invite the ombudsman to come and make a presentation of the report to the portfolio committee, so that we can get the true picture of what exactly transpired and what are the findings of his report. Because when we watch television, you just get it there and there. But also, Chair, I wanted to propose that maybe if also as the portfolio committee, we can go and do our own oversight and see those places, how do they look like, and so that at least we'll be having a report from the ombudsman, but also ourselves will be having visited the places practically, so that when we speak, we'll speak on something that we know, rather than depending on the ombudsman report only. I'm not saying the report is not accurate, but what I'm saying is that it will be much better if also as the portfolio committee would go and visit the places where the people were housed. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. I think I do agree to an extent that the ombuds should come and brief us on this issue, but I would suggest that there should be a holistic investigation and of all the mental hospitals and facilities, and not just on this tragedy, because it looks like there have been a lot of malfeasance taking place and that are not reported, maybe because of one reason or another. We would like to have a holistic report, especially about estimating and what role it played in this strategy and what made the people to be moved from that place, the whole lot. Now, the ombuds, I think, mandate was to investigate this death, which were happening somewhere, but not what led to the whole process being taken, because it looks like there are lots of people, even more, who passed on at SD Many than in the other NGO combined. So if we can get that particular picture, then we can have a holistic picture and maybe find remedial activity, processes that will stop this from happening in the future. Thank you.
No, thanks very much. Any further comment on this matter? None. Okay. So the view is that we should ask the ombudsperson to table the report officially, because we don't have it officially. I'm not sure whether we should ask the ombudsman or the Minister of Health, because it's already with the Minister of Health. Whatever way it's possible. Maybe we should ask I'm not sure whether the Minister or the... But because it's already been given to the Minister, I would think it will be better to ask the Minister to officially table it. And then based on that tabling official, then we then invite the ombudsperson, if that's the view, to come and present the report and have a discussion. Or alternatively, once it is tabled, we're able to have access to it as an official document tabled to us as Parliament. And then we then ask for debate in the House. I'm looking at the practicality of of delaying calling on the, on calling the ombudsperson to come, it might take long, that's one. But two, the House will, this from next week will be sitting. We can look at, although it's going to be the debate, on the response of the State of the National Trust, we can look into the agents of the matter and request the speaker to give it the special attention it deserves. Okay, whatever way we feel, as long as it is in the course of this week, the minister is then able to table the report. We agree on that. That we should request the minister, because it's already been handed over to the minister official. That was on Wednesday last week. It was handed official to him. And it's him who must make sure that the recommendations of what is in that report is implemented in full. Honorable James, Honorable Mason.
Chair, I agree with that, but it would be very good for the committee to have a chance to speak with directly with Dr. Makgoba as well. Would be my view.
We'll then ask the minister in the course of this week to table the report, and then next week, Wednesday, try to create a space for the Professor Makgoba to come and present the report to the committee. Agreed. And then the recommendation as to whether we need further full-blown investigation into the state of the psychiatric health system in the country as a whole. Maybe something, therefore, that should then arise after the discussion on the presentation on this report by Professor Mahon. The extent to which we need to have a national picture, because it might not be the problem of Gauteng. It might be a national crisis. So we have to, it's a matter that we can decide when we get that discussion next week. Agreed? Okay. Can we go to we to introductions? I'm sure we all know each other. But it's a normal process that we do as a committee. So I'm AF Mahlalela, known as Fish, a member of the portfolio committee. And then on my left we've got the staff of the committee, which is the secretary of the committee, Omar Chalamba. And then we've got the researcher Uzubeya. Then the content advisor Ngomane. And then who else? Then I've got Moses on the other side. So this is the staff of the committee. Then I'll ask members to quickly introduce themselves as a practice.
Thank you, Chair. I'm Dr. Marcel. I'm the member of this committee. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Doreen Sinobanyane, a member of the committee.
Good morning, committee member Walmart James.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Lungiswa James, member of the committee.
Now, thanks very much. I'll ask the department to officially introduce themselves. I'm not sure who's leading the delegation. The one who's leading the delegation will then introduce himself or herself and then indicate whether individual will introduce themselves or he or she is going to introduce everybody.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, and good morning, Chair, and good morning to all the Honorable Members. I'm Gail Andrews, the Chief Operating Officer of the National Department of Health. I'd like to apologize because two of our colleagues have been stuck in traffic. They were out in... Ms. Renier has arrived, but I think Anban also arrived. Oh, okay. So I just call on the members from the department to introduce themselves. Thank you.
Good morning, Chair members. My name is Ian van der Merwe. I'm the CFO at National Health.
Good morning, Honourable Members. I'm Jürgen Pere. I'm the DDG responsible for the HIV, TB and maternal and child health programs.
Good morning, Chair and Honourable Chair and Honourable Members. I'm Jeanette Hunter, the Deputy Director General for Primary Health Care at the National Department of Health.
Good morning, Honourable Members, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members. My name is Nolanja Makanya. I'm the Chief Nursing Officer.
Good morning, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members. My name is Andrew Crichton. I'm the Chief Director responsible for Human Resources for Health.
Good morning, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members. I'm Ben Pillay from the National Department of Health.
Good morning, Honourable Members, Honourable Chair. My name is Valerie Rennie. I'm the Head of Corporate Services in the National Health Department. Thank you.
There's nobody from health now.
Morning, Chair and Honourable Members. My name is Dorgas.
No, thanks very much. Can anybody that has not been introduced in one form or another introduce themselves?
Good morning, Chairperson. My name is Faith Kwaza from Parliamentary Communication Service.
Good morning, I'm Stephanie from TNG.
Can you speak to the mic?
I'm Stephanie from the Parliamentary Monitoring Group.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Yuna Fonseil from the Tobacco Institute of Southern Africa.
Good morning, honorable members. Morning, Chair. I'm Zanele Keto from ASA Stakeholder Liaison.
Morning, honorable members. Sandra Loata, researcher in caucus.
No, thanks very much. We'll then move to a briefing by the Department of Health on the first to the third quarter report. As I've indicated, we've received the chair has apologized, as I've indicated, because it's not well, it's on sick leave. Secretary will indicate what apologies she has received.
I've received an apology from Mr. Mapanga. He was involved in a car accident. Mr. Chafta has a doctor's appointment, and Mr. Kosa is not well.
No, thanks very much. Without waste of time, then we'll hand over to the department just to take us through the report.
Thanks, Honourable Chairperson. Unfortunately, our presentation is not connecting. The laptop doesn't seem to be connecting with the OBS projector, and we're still waiting for IT support. So if Honourable Members would allow us, we can... I'm sure if honorable members do have presentations in front of them, we'll just follow the format and continue with the presentation.
Do all members have the present hard copy? Okay. No, proceed. We'll use the hard copy.
Thank you. So the purpose of the presentation is really to present, as requested by honorable members, a consolidated report for quarter one, quarter two, and quarter three. And the report, as usual, is presented by the program areas, program 1 to program 6, covering administration, health planning and systems enablement, HIV and AIDS, TB and maternal child and women's health, primary health care services, hospitals, tertiary services and workforce development, and then health regulation and compliance management. The committee also requested two additional presentations, one on MomConnect, and one on placement of health professionals, which we will also do after we completed the report on the performance and financial information. In terms of program one, the first strategic objective is to ensure financial management and accountability by improving audit outcomes. And this is an annual target, whereby we hope to get an unqualified audit opinion. We received an unqualified audit opinion for the 2015-16 year, and the audit, any findings out of this audit were then translated into financial plans within the provinces to address the audit findings. And by quarter three, we have had clear improvement plans implemented
to address the audit findings found in 2015-16 financial year. And our second indicator is the number of provincial departments that demonstrate improvements in audit outcomes or opinions. And our targets for meeting the requirements on this indicator is really to work with provinces to demonstrate improvements in audit outcomes. In quarter one, 3 provinces obtained unqualified audit opinions. And So the 3 provinces obtained unqualified audit opinions, and quarter 2 target was to have them submit financial improvement plans to address their audit findings, and by the third quarter all provinces had submitted their improvement plans to the national department to address audit findings. Our second strategic objective is to ensure efficient and responsive human resource services through effective and efficient recruitment processes and responsive human support programs. Our key indicators relate to turnaround time for recruitment processes, where we've exceeded our target of 6 months. We've met our target at 4 months. In terms of our vacancy rate, our annual target is our quarter two target is to have under 10 vacancy rate, and we've achieved by quarter three on 4.4%. In terms of the percentage of senior managers that have entered into performance agreements with their supervisors, our annual target is 98%. And we put it at 98% because there's always new employees who come into the system and are therefore not ready to be assessed, because they're in transit, they haven't yet completed their year to be able to be assessed. And we've achieved 97% by the third quarter. So that means we will be on track to achieve our annual target. In terms of ensuring that increasingly more and more employees access health and wellness programs, we've had a quarter three target of 24%. And our quarter three performance cumulatively is 78.9%, also showing that we're doing very well on getting people into health and wellness programs. Che, can I log on now because I see it's connecting, please? Our departmental business continuity plan. Our strategic objective was to coordinate the development and implementation of a department business continuity plan by the 31st of March 2020. That's a long-term strategic objective. And our indicator is to have a business continuity plan developed. Our quarter one target was to have a contract signed in relation to the BCP plan, and the contract, a draft contract between the service provider and NDOH was developed but not finalized by the end of quarter one, because in reviewing the business approach to business continuity, a new approach was developed, and our second quarter one target, which was to conduct workshops with the targeted functional areas within the department responsible for implementation of the plan. The workshop was then postponed to quarter three. We had two more targets in relation to our business continuity plan. The second target was to develop business processes and systems, and to have systems identified for both HR and ICT. And then the third target was to prioritize the identified business processes, data applications, and hardware technology in terms of criticality to the operations of targeted functional areas within the department. So in order to achieve these targets, we commenced a review of the business processes and identified champions within each of the targeted functional areas or branches in the department. And in quarter three, we reviewed businesses, the reviewed business approach which had been developed was approved. The champions were appointed in each branch, and BCP workshops to orientate these champions commenced. So that's the work of continuing the business continuity plan can move forward. In terms of our next strategic objective, to develop an integrated communication strategy and implementation plan, our indicator is the number of communication interventions implemented, and here we have done very well and exceeded our target by far, having had 25 communication interventions by the end of the quarter three. Moving to the next program, our planning and systems enablement. Key indicators here center around the achievement of universal health coverage through the development of the NHI white paper and getting that finalized, drafting the legislation for NHI and establishing the National Health Insurance Fund. By the end of quarter three, we had finalized the comments received subsequent to putting out the white paper for comments. The comments were then analyzed and a report compiled, and the white paper is now ready for submission to Cabinet. In terms of the bill, once Cabinet has approved the white paper, we will start drafting of the bill. And with regards to the development of the funding modality for the National Health Insurance Fund, we have in quarter two, preparatory work was well underway by the work stream to establish the fund as a public entity, and this work continues. Our next objective is then with regard to managing our establishing a national stock management surveillance center to improve medicine availability in the country. And with regards to the electronic stock management systems indicator, our targets were to implement such a electronic stock management system in 10 central hospitals, 17 tertiary hospitals, and 25 regional hospitals by quarter one. And then progressively over the year, we've added, so by quarter three, we've added 35 districts and 25 regional hospitals to our targets, and I'm happy to say that we've achieved those targets. So we're doing very well on our stock management system, electronic stock management system. Now we're moving to implement the electronic stock management system also for early detection of stockouts of medicines also in the primary healthcare facilities. And again, by the end of quarter three, we've achieved that target with 3,121 clinics having the EMS electronic stock management system. With regards to the number of facilities reporting stock availability at the National Surveillance Center and to monitor stock medicine availability through the Central Surveillance Center, our targets were again 10 central, 17 tertiary, and 25 regional hospitals, and 1,350 primary healthcare clinics by quarter one. We achieved our targets in quarter one, and then we progressively increased those targets so that by the end of quarter three, we exceeded our target at regional hospitals and clinics our target at regional hospitals being 23, having the reporting to the National Surveillance Center and 35 district hospitals reporting to the, 35 district hospitals reporting to the surveillance center, and we achieved that target. In terms of regional hospitals, we had a target of 23 regional hospitals reporting to the surveillance center, and we achieved 41 regional hospitals who were now reporting. And primary healthcare clinics, we had targeted 1,650 primary healthcare clinics, and we achieved we overachieved on that target with 3,121 primary healthcare clinics actually reporting to the National Surveillance Center to monitor stock availability, showing also that we are increasing our capacity at the primary healthcare level to manage our medicine stocks. We also have our strategic objective of improving the contracting and supply of medicine, with a number of indicators related to that strategic objective. Among other, the number of provincial medicine procurement units for the management of direct delivery of medicines established. And here, we've achieved our target. And by the end of quarter three, the project management unit, procurement unit in KZN was up and running and functional as per our plans. And the project plan for the rollout of such a project management procurement unit was now also developed for the Northwest as per our target. The second indicator relating to number of patients receiving medicines through the centralized chronic medicine dispensing and distribution system. Here we were slightly underperforming in quarter one, but in quarter three we met our target and actually far surpassed it, having 884,335 patients now accessing medicine through the CCMD program. Another target is to have 100% in improving medicine availability is to have 100% of pharmaceutical tenders awarded at least 8 weeks prior to expiration of an outgoing contract. And again, throughout the year, every quarter, the targets were met, meeting the deadline of 8 weeks prior to expiration of an outgoing contract. The contracts were already awarded for the supply of pharmaceutical. In terms of implementing the strategy to address antimicrobial resistance, as we know, antimicrobial resistance is a big problem. And to facilitate the implementation of the strategy, we developed antimicrobial stewardship guidelines. And these guidelines were circulated for comment in quarter one. Mm-hmm. They were reviewed, inputs were reviewed, and then by quarter three, the guidelines were updated following the review of comments, and it's now waiting, is now ready to be taken forward to take NHC and NHC in the subsequent quarter. We also have a target relating to council establishment of council of traditional practitioners, and our key target here was to get for the year, the annual target is to have all the staff for the interim council of traditional practitioners in place. We started with the establishment of the post of the registrar, and the post for this, the advert for this post has gone out, and interviews have already been conducted. In terms of strengthening the revenue collection system by incentivizing hospitals to maximize revenue generation. A key indicator is to develop a revenue retention model for central hospitals. We've had a number of targets over the quarters, including working with the Finance and Fiscal Commission on a draft discussion paper for the revenue retention model. Then we have to present the revised revenue retention model to the CFO Forum and NHCC, and then incorporate feedback from these stakeholders and present the refined paper, discussion paper on revenue retention model to expect NHC in the third quarter. Now, here we are on track to meet our target as an annual target, but we have not yet managed to finalize the discussion paper due to some delays in getting work done with the FFC, but subsequently we do have a report with FFC inputs, and this report is now being reviewed. In terms of our EL strategy implementation, our key indicator is a complete system design for a national integrated patient-based information system, which we've been reporting on during all of last year. And last year we focused on the primary healthcare platform. For this year, our annual target is to actually take the health normative standards framework and test the readiness of hospitals for patient-based information systems. So by the end of quarter two, we've done an assessment of patient-based information systems for use in hospitals and tested how the health normative standards framework and basic health information exchange can be piloted in hospitals, and the report has been completed in line with the health normative standards framework. And then another indicator here related to the number of primary healthcare facilities implementing improved patient administration and web-based information systems. Our target for the year, the annual target, is 1450 primary healthcare facilities, and we've already exceeded that target with 1,505 facilities now having the capacity to implement patient-based information systems. Now we move next to the arena of international cooperation, where we have a number of indicators against the strategic objective of domestication of international treaties and implementation of multilateral cooperation on areas of mutual and desirable benefit. Here the work has continued to implement the international treaties. We've done work with WHO on the Framework Convention on Tobacco Control, as well as participated in a workshop, WHO workshop, on plain packaging of tobacco products during the first quarter. And during the third quarter, by the end of the third quarter, we have had a number of we have participated in a number of bilateral agreements and international treaties relating to the following: the high-level panel on access to medicines, the high-level panel on health, employment, and economic growth, the antimicrobial resistance high-level meeting, foreign policy and global health high-level meeting, the Stop TB initiative, and the independent oversight and advisory committee on emergencies. In terms of these committees, it's mainly DG participating on these high-level committees, but also some of the other DDGs and senior staff in the department. And as honourable members know, our minister is the chair of the Stop TB initiative. In terms of the indicator, the number of multilateral frameworks implemented, again these relate to our work mainly with the WHO, our participation in the UN General Assembly, as well as activities of WHO AFRO, where we've duly participated, and by the end of quarter three we also participated in four high-level engagements to support especially the multilateral framework implementation on the tracking of ex-minors who have TB, HIV, AIDS, and malaria. In terms of our next objective, to implement a national research strategic plan, our key indicator is national research, health research plan implemented. We've had two targets here, which is to develop a more detailed research strategy. time and will provide critical information whereby we can monitor the performance of our health system as well as the health outcomes of our nation. So I'm happy to report that the South African Demographic and Health Survey data collection has been completed and the process of analysis of results is underway, and by the end of this, by March, or by the end of March, the beginning of April to late April, we will be able to have brief reports on all our key indicators from this analysis. The full report, the full demographic and health survey report will however only be available towards the end of next year. I mean, at the end of the year and early the end of the next financial year. In terms of moving forward with NHI, we've also developed another indicator to implement a monitoring, integrated monitoring and evaluation plan, which now will incorporate the work on NHI. So for the past year, three quarters of the year gone by, we've really been working on developing a concept paper for monitoring and evaluation of NHI, and then producing a draft framework document and identifying appropriate indicators. And by the end of quarter three, we have actually circulated this draft framework now for comments. So we're well on track with that indicator to achieve that target against that indicator. Now we come back to the implementation of bilateral agreements. This indicator relates to the number of bilateral projects implemented, and here we implemented a number of projects mainly with Zimbabwe to strengthen maternal and child health, as well as doing work to facilitate the learning of teams in South Africa, whereby we teams visited Liberia to undertake a pre-deployment assessment on the post-Ebola recovery period during the 6th to the 10th of June. And a number of other bilateral agreements have been facilitated, namely with the UK, Namibia, Botswana, China, Zambia, and a couple of other countries. In terms of strengthening our pharmaceutical supplier systems again, we have an electronic system to monitor supplier performance, and the target is to have the annual target to have performance reports of all contracted pharmaceutical suppliers produced, and we've achieved this target. Then we also have a forum, a target to work to. We have three targets for quarter one, quarter two, and quarter three, which are all aimed at the establishment of a forum to promote transparency and multi-stakeholder engagement regarding medicine availability. To this end, we put out a request for nominations for appointment to such a stakeholder forum, and the nominations were received, and the list of nominations has been sent to the minister for his consideration to appointment, for appointment to the committee. Then we also have an indicator on single exit price adjustments to be published and implemented annually, and we've achieved our targets for the quarters or our milestones that we put ourselves so that we can achieve the annual target. So we're on track there. The next indicator relates to regulations on uniform patient fee schedules developed. Here, the quarter one target was to present the uniform patient fee schedule to the State Attorney General and get his recommendations and take it to TechNHC specifically these regulations, these this schedule covers foreign nationals, mainly per definition, refugees, asylum seekers, undocumented foreign nationals. So in quarter one, the recommendations of the State Attorney General and draft regulation guidelines for foreign nationals were actually presented to TECNHC and NHC. And then the draft regulations were submitted to legal services, and these regulations are now submitted to the state law advisor from our departmental legal services. Then the next indicator relates to a central repository for funded and unfunded patients. Here we've had a number of targets also to achieve that, to perform on the, against that indicator, and this included consulting with the CSIR on the normative standards framework for e-health, consulting with the Human Rights Commissioner regarding tariffs applicable to refugees, asylum seekers and undocumented foreign nationals, and then to get the minister to approve that we engage with medical schemes regarding access to patient information. And we've achieved all these targets, so currently engagement with medical schemes are underway regarding patient information. The next set of indicators relate to strengthening planning, and here is, our targets are to have all the provincial APPs fully aligned with the national provincial APP, through reviewing these APPs and providing feedback to the provincial departments of health, and that has been achieved. We're also busy strengthening planning through the development of an integrated planning framework for the national health system. And here, the annual target is to have an integrated planning framework developed and related to NHC. We've developed the planning framework. It was presented to TECNHC, and we're now busy refining it, and it will be presented then to NHC. The next couple of indicators relate to improving quality of care, with the first two relating to patient experience of care assessments. The first one being a patient experience of care guideline and survey tool, which needs to be implemented in 1,200 clinics. That's the annual target. And the guideline and the tool, the guideline for conducting the survey as well as the tool, was endorsed by our management committee in quarter two. It was taken to TECNHC, whereby inputs were given by the provincial heads of health, and the tool has been revised and will again be presented to TECNHC the end of this month, and thereafter to National Health Council. Then, while those guidelines will be implemented in all facilities eventually, although for this financial year we're targeting 1,200 clinics, which can help to pick up further problems with the tool and strengthen it for full implementation next year. In the meantime, we also commissioned a national survey to measure patient experience of care, which is being done in partnership with the Health Systems Trust. Here we've had huge delays with getting ethics approval, but finally ethics approval has been granted by the University of Cape Town Ethics Committee, and work with regional ethics committee then followed and was approved. And field workers were recruited and trained, and the data collection commenced in January. We also developed a national policy to manage complaints, compliments, and suggestions for the public health sector, and the draft policy on management of complaints and compliments in the public sector was also presented to TECNHC in October, whereby inputs were again provided, and it's now ready for retabling to TECNHC and then NHC. Another initiative to improve, attempt to improve our quality of care, we developed a national policy to manage patient safety incident reporting in the public health sector. A draft policy was again developed to monitor patients, to manage patient safety incident reporting. The draft policy was taken through the approval processes, and it's now also ready for retabling at Tech NHC and then tabling at NHC. The next two indicators have been, this was just an error where we omitted to delete it here, so I'm just going to skip it if you don't mind. We have dealt with those, honourable members. So the key performance improvement strategies here relate to fast-tracking the guidelines related to quality improvement, and we're happy to report that they are all ready for tabling at NHC, so we'll achieve our targets in the APP related to quality improvement in the health sector. We can then move to the next program, which is program 3 on HIV, AIDS, TB and maternal and child health. We've done quite well in that we've achieved most of our targets. The problem areas persist, and we have developed improvement strategies to address those. We have achieved our target on antenatal first visits before 20 weeks. We've also done very well on the mother postnatal visit within 6 days rate. Although we've fallen slightly short of our target, we have to bear in mind that this is data for only 2 months because of the data lag. Our maternal mortality in facility ratio, the quarter three target was 115 deaths per 100,000 live births, and we at 108 per 1,000 live births, indicating improvements in that area. Our inpatient neonatal death rate, the target we set for the third quarter was 10 per 1,000 live births, and we are still at 12.8 per 1,000 live births. We are trying to do our best there. It's not easy to impact on neonatal death rates because of multiplicity of factors relating to the mom's health and also the child. Especially years, the deaths are related to asphyxia, prematurity, as well as infection. And a couple of strategies are in place to address that. Then we have our key indicator to improve access to sexual and reproductive health services. We are exceeding our target for couple year protection rate, so we're doing well on reducing unwanted pregnancies, we hope, by proxy. Our cervical cancer screening coverage target has also been exceeded. Our antenatal client initiated on ART rate is still a bit of a challenge at 81.5% against a target of 95.5% for the third quarter. But again, the data has a lag, and so it's not final. Then regarding infant first PCR test positive around 10 weeks rate, our target is for quarters 1 to quarter 3 is 1.4%. And in quarter two, we achieved a target of 1.4, where we met the target. And in the last quarter, we actually achieved 1.3%. Just falling short of the target. In terms of child under 5 years diarrhea case fatality rate, we are on 2%, which is an improvement. The same for child under 5 pneumonia case fatality rate, We have a target of 2.6, but we're at 1.8. Child under 5 years of the acute malnutrition rate, target being 3.9. We're standing at 7, indicating that this is still quite a challenge for us. The confirmed measles case incident per million total population rate was a target of 2. We've achieved 0.13, so doing better there. The immunization coverage under 1 year, where we're at 81.1% against a target of 92%, but a lot of the problems in immunization coverage relate to global shortages of the surveillance vaccine. In terms of the next two indicators on hepatitis B and the measles first dose dropout rate, we're still falling short there. In terms of hepatitis B, a target of 55-46, so needing to do a bit better on both of those. Measles second dose coverage, 79%, and we've achieved 92%, which is very good. School grade 1 screening coverage and school grade 8 screening coverage. In terms of grade 1 screening coverage, we've met our target. Our target was 13.5% and we have 42.6% with only 2 months data, so we'll do even better. And then for the grade 8 screening coverage, we have a target of 5% and we've already achieved 16.9%. So our school health services are doing very well. In terms of protecting girl learners against cervical cancer, our target is 87 and we are on 77.6. HPV second dose coverage, 87% target and we are on 60.5%. This largely relates to the targeting of the campaign dates. It's done only twice a year, so learners who don't come in the first campaign, they usually we make up for the second campaign, and the second campaign is going to be underway in February, March. So hopefully we'll up those numbers. Then another strategic objective is to increase access to treatment initiation to at least 90% of lab diagnosed DCTB and Department of Correctional Services TB and RR2TB patients. The targets are TB clients 5 years and older initiated on treatment rate. We've achieved 95.4%, exceeding our target. TB with ampicillin resistant clients treatment initiated rate, 78%, also doing very well, just short of target. And TB client treatment success rate, 84.2% achievement. TB being a general problem, and as we can see from the TB client loss to follow-up rate, we're still struggling a bit with that, falling just short of our target. TB client death rate, where we have a target of 4.5 for quarter three, but still TB death rate was at 6.1%. TB MDR client loss to follow-up rate, we had a target of 15% for quarter three, but actually had a loss to follow-up rate of 18%, just over 18%. And the TB MDR treatment success rate, our quarter three target was 56%, and we just fell short at a target of 49.2%. So all the targets related to MDR TB remain a challenge, as well as the TB client death rate and loss to follow-up rate. Another indicator is TB co-infected client on ART rate, and here our target has been achieved, which is 81% by quarter three, which is very good. And then the number of clients tested for HIV, Our quarter three target was 2.5 million, and we just over 2.4 million on our way to achieving our annual target. Number of male medical circumcisions performed, 150,000 for quarter three target, and we have achieved 110,604 with October and November data, and this includes the circumcisions performed by our PEPFAR partners. In terms of male condoms distributed, our target was 150 million for quarter three, and we surpassed that target. Similarly, for female condoms distributed, we surpassed our target. In terms of the number of clients remaining on ART, however, we've come slightly short of our target. So clients remaining on ART also remain a bit of a challenge for us. In terms of the indicator, maternal, neonatal and women's health programs using standardized dashboard reports, here we're doing very well. Our cluster responsible for this work produced the dashboard reports and circulated to the provinces and gave them feedback. And the quarter three report will be finalized once all the data is available in February 2017. So we've remained on track throughout the year, and for quarter three we finalized in February. In terms of the elimination of mother-to-child transmission, the target is to identify districts with transmission rates above 2%, and in quarter one we've identified 7 districts with transmission rates above 2%. In quarter two we didn't identify any districts, and then in quarter three districts in the provinces of KZN and Limpopo have been visited. Development of district remedial plans was started in the third quarter. In terms of severe acute malnutrition, our target was to have a provincial Department of Health remedial plan drafted, and the remedial plans, two provincial remedial plans were completed in quarter one, Limpopo and Mpumalanga. And then the Mpumalanga implementation plan was finalized in quarter two, and having therefore one provincial plan completed against the target. Another indicator is to switch from trivalent oral polio vaccine to bivalent vaccine. The switch was conducted in quarter one. And the report was finalized and approved in the second quarter. That was our quarter three performance. The target against cervical cancer guidelines were to finalize the draft cervical cancer control policy and guidelines. And we're happy to report that these guidelines will be tabled at NHC coming up for approval. The breast cancer policy guidelines, our target was also to finalize those guidelines, and these two will be tabled at NHC for approval. In terms of the antenatal seroprevalence survey that we conduct annually, the 2015 seroprevalence survey report has been finalized and is to be published now. It's still embargoed. The minister will be releasing it soon. A decision has been taken to not implement the 2016 survey, that is to not collect data for the 2016 survey, because the South African Demographic and Health Survey is currently underway. But the 2015 data was collected and the data is currently being analyzed, so that report will be available by the end of May 2017. Like with women's health programs and maternal health programs, we also produce the standardized dashboard reports for child health. And the report has been prepared and circulated to provinces by the end of quarter two, and will also, again, be, a report will be completed in quarter three once the December 2016 data is available in February 2017. Our next indicator relating to percentage of inmates screened for TB on admission. Yeah, our quarter three target was 80%, whereby we only achieved 34%, and this seemed rather low to us. So I'd just like to ask Dr. Pillay, because he just reported that they received late yesterday from Department of Correctional Services new figures. So it's now 74%. And that relates to the number of inmates admitted, because the denominator changed and the figures, you know, so they've improved. So this is actually 74%. Thanks, Yogan. Then, percentage of controlled mice providing routine TB screening. The annual target is 85, and here we achieved a target of 102. And why have we gone over 100%? This is because 252 mice were inspected, where the initial target was to inspect 246. So because our denominator changed, our final figure also changed. Now, the main performance improvement strategies for this program relates to the fact that hospitals were not collecting or reporting data on the mother postnatal care when new mothers are in hospital, and hence those figures looked a bit low. Provinces have now been requested to activate this data element for the hospital, so that we also collect data from the hospitals to report on postnatal services provided within 6 days to all women who are still hospitalized. Then regarding the high TB death rate, it's really the Northern Cape and Western Cape who have higher TB death rates, and this data was pulling down the national figure. An investigation is now being done to establish the causes and to check whether it is also what's going on there. With funding from the Global Fund, we will be deploying community-based linkage officers to help trace TB patients lost to follow up. And hopefully this will also help to impact on our TB death rate. In terms of the global stock shortages of their surveillance vaccines, these shortages resulted in children not getting the full course of the immunization doses. Provinces have now been requested to prepare improvement plans to address both data quality and support visits have also been set up and agreed to with the provinces, so that we can address this problem of looking at what the coverage, our immunization coverage. In terms of the primary healthcare program, our cataract surgery rate, by quarter three, we had a target of 33,000 cataract operations to have been conducted cumulatively, and we've conducted over 41,000, achieving the target. Our malaria incidence per 1,000 population at risk indicator, we have a target of 0.2% cumulatively, and we are at 0.7%, doing very well, with a lot of our resources having been deployed to address this elimination of malaria in our country. In terms of improving district governance, one of our indicators is to have increase the number of districts with uniform management structures. And we developed our target was to have an organizational ODA consultant to assist with the development of such an organizational structure. The structure was developed and consulted on, and feedback was received and reviewed. And then a final draft structure was developed and presented to TechNHC, which will also then TechNHC gave feedback, and it will now go back to TechNHC once we have revised the recommendations they gave us, and thereafter it will be taken to the National Health Council. In terms of the number of primary health care facilities with functional clinic committees, our quarter three target cumulatively was 900, and here we've really over-exceeded our target with having reached a figure of 2,032 facilities audited to determine the functionality of the clinic committee. And those that were audited were found functional. Now, in terms of improving access to community-based family healthcare services through ward-based outreach teams, the target again was to have 2,000 functional ward-based primary healthcare outreach teams. We have a figure of 3,143 functional, well exceeding our target. Again, showing that all the efforts going into strengthening the primary healthcare platform is paying off now. Then, improve quality of services at primary healthcare facilities through the Ideal Clinic Initiative and having more and more clinics qualify as Ideal Clinics. Our target for quarter three was 350 cumulatively, and here we actually fell short of our target with only 267 clinics qualifying as Ideal, so short of our target by 83, but still having at least improved the numbers. In terms of improving environmental health services in all our 52 districts, we had a target of developing norms and standards audit tool, and then reviewing this tool and plan of action for quarter one. For quarter two, we had a target of having 12 districts and metropolitan municipalities audited, and in quarter three, we aim to have 24 district metropolitan municipalities audited. By the end of quarter three, we fell slightly short of our target by 6, with 18 district metropolitan municipalities having been audited. In terms of improving the prevention of infection, we had an indicator to roll out a hand and hygiene strategy, and our quarter three target cumulatively was to have the strategy rolled out in 6 provincial departments of health through holding workshops with them, and this the strategy workshops were held in 8 provinces, again having achieved our target, so we just only need to do 1 province. In terms of healthcare risk waste regulations, we had to develop draft guidelines. We had to circulate it to provinces for their input and then develop a final guide, and then we had to develop provincial plans to monitor and implement the guide and to support the provinces to implement these through monitoring them. So ongoing work has been done, a draft guideline has been circulated, feedback has been received, and a final guideline developed, and the provinces are now all being supported to develop the provincial plans to implement these guidelines. In terms of international health regulations, to ensure that all our ports are compliant with these regulations at all the 44 points of entry, we had to develop an audit tool. We had to identify and audit, we had to audit 10 identified ports of entry, and by quarter three we had to audit 30 identified ports of entry, and again we've gone beyond what we set ourselves as a target and audited 32. In terms of risk factors for communicable diseases, here again we've exceeded our target in that we've orientated and trained 38 departments and 2 parastatals on the implementation of the guide for healthy meal provision in the workplace in an attempt to manage our and work towards achieving our obesity targets and also reducing hypertension. Guidelines on early nutrition, guidelines on good nutrition for early child development centers. The guideline has been developed, it has been circulated for inputs, and inputs were received, and final consultations with the stakeholders were done on the revised draft, and again, inputs were received, and the analysis of inputs and comments are underway. We after it will be finalized and taken through the approval process. Regulations relating to tabling and packaging of tobacco products. Against this indicator, work is ongoing. As at the end of quarter three, the draft bill has been sent to state law advisors with regards to monitoring of salt content in foodstuffs. We also achieved our target, over-exceeded it by 3. 13 categories of food tested against a target of 8. In terms of establishing the National Health Commission, we are now at the stage by the end of quarter three of having a cabinet memo having been submitted, which included the operating framework for the National Health Commission for cabinet to consider. In terms of improving access to the quality of mental health services in South Africa, here our quarter four target, which we've increased over the course of the year, is to have 4 teams established in addition to the teams that we set up in quarter three and quarter one. So by the end of quarter three, we now have 7 district mental health teams established. In terms of improving on disability and rehab services, through implementation of the framework and model for rehab services and disability services, our strategy here was to develop implementation plans with provinces, and the target was to have all 9 provinces develop implementation plans. By the end of quarter three, we had 4 provinces with full implementation plans, while the other provinces are still in the process of developing their plans. In terms of the elimination of malaria, so that there is 0 cases, we have an indicator of targeted districts to report malaria cases within 24 hours, and out of the 7 targeted districts, 6 are reporting within 24 hours through Malaria Connect. In terms of our emergency response capacity, our indicator is to increase the number of provincial outbreak response teams trained to respond to zoonotic infectious and foodborne disease outbreaks through training of provincial teams. Our quarter three target was to have 6 provincial teams trained. We've now trained all 9 provinces. I mean, to have teams in 6 provinces trained now, we've trained all 9 teams in all 9 provinces. We also hoping to impact on seasonal influenza through vaccinations. Our target of 800,000 individuals vaccinated, we've exceeded with 896,091 individuals actually vaccinated against seasonal influenza. In terms of performance improvement strategies for this program area, the main challenge is for the clinics to attain an ideal clinic status. Really relate to supply chain management, especially on equipment, essential supplies and infrastructure, and the department is now working with National Treasury to address these supply chain weaknesses through a national catalogue for primary healthcare equipment and through ensuring that transversal tenders exist. So we can move now to our second last program, which is the Hospital Tertiary Services and Workforce Development. Here, we've moved ahead with our work on Wizen. And by the end of quarter three, we've reviewed the district health information system to obtain workload statistics for district hospitals in order to work towards achieving our target of having norms for district and specialized hospitals. So that work is still work in progress. In terms of the number of facilities benchmarked against the staffing normative guide, our quarter three target was 2,800 additional facilities. we achieved a target of 3,149 by the end of quarter three. Therefore, achieving our target, we've already achieved the target in quarter two. We also want 9 regional training centers established. Our target was to have 6 by the end of quarter three, and we've achieved that target. We also want to ensure compliance with national core standards for central, regional, and specialized hospitals in order to improve the quality of care in hospitals. Our quarter three target was actually 21, but we fell short of our target because only 6 hospitals were assessed and only 3 obtained 75% or more, which is the requirement as per the indicator. And these hospitals were Edenvale Hospital, King Edward Hospital, and Nkosi Albert Lutuli, who actually exceeded the 75% mark to score 87%. And then the other 3 that was assessed obtained 65%. Here we actually reliant on the Office of Health Standards Compliance assessments. So if they don't do assessments, we don't have scores. And that was a bit of a weak strategy for achieving the indicator target. In terms of increasing the capacity of central hospitals to strengthen local decision-making and accountability to facilitate semi-autonomy, here the indicator is the number of central hospitals with standardized organizational structures as for the primary healthcare platform. Now, the structure was developed, and the presentation of the proposed structure is now on the agenda for NHC Tech, and then whereafter it will be presented by DPSA. To NHC, so that target is on track. In terms of improving access to the quality of mental health services, here we've had an indicator to identify the number of district and regional hospitals who actually have mental health inpatient units. When we did this assessment, we actually found in quarter three that 2 district hospitals, 14 regional hospitals have, and 14 regional hospitals actually do have inpatient units, as well as 6 tertiary hospitals and 3 central hospitals. Although our target didn't include tertiary and central hospitals, we did the assessments there as well. In terms of our workforce development, strengthening nursing education and training, as well as nursing practice through the implementation of the objectives of the nursing strategy. Here, we've achieved the targets we've set, and the new basic nursing program and draft curricula has been presented to the management committee. As per the target, we also want to increase the number of nursing and midwifery educators identified nationally and who are registered for training and development. Our target is 50, and we've exceeded our target of identifying nursing and midwifery educators who can be registered for the training and development program. Then we also need to implement the nursing strategy and monitor the implementation of the strategy. So our quarter three target was to have the monitoring system finalized, and the monitoring system has been finalized. The next indicator relates to our quality of our health infrastructure in South Africa. And here we've actually managed to make improvements because we've managed to achieve against our targets set for all the indicators actually related to improving the maintenance and refurbishment of facilities, as honourable members can see. Or we're on track to achieve those targets since we are now in the third quarter. In in terms of the number of hospitals constructed or revitalized, our annual target is 8, and 18 hospitals were actually revitalized, exceeding the target. Then the number of new facilities that comply with the gazetted infrastructure norms and standards, our target was 52 new facilities, and out of 21 facilities, 5 facilities were reviewed and were found to be in line with the gazetted norms and standards. In terms of infrastructure monitoring system, our quarter 3 target was to have one consolidated quarterly national monitoring report. Now, this target was achieved in quarter 2, where we have had one consolidated national monitoring report, but for quarter 3, we're still drawing the data from the management project management information system to develop one consolidated report. In terms of emergency medical services, here we are on track to meet our target. We have developed a checklist for approval at the National Emergency Services Committee. The meeting actually didn't take place, the physical meeting, but the checklist was approved, and thereby the target was met. We did a round robin by email. In terms of eliminating the percentage backlog eliminated for blood alcohol tests, we are on 60% against a target of 75%. Likewise, for toxicology, our target is 75%, but there we are having major challenges, having reached a target of only 5%. And then percentage of food tests completed within the normative turnaround time of 30 days for perishable foods and 60 days for non-perishable foods. Our target was 75%, and we just under target at 63%. In terms of improving the management and leadership of health facilities through a health leadership and management academy, our target was to have an annual target of 40 hospital CEOs and 200 primary health care facility managers trained, with a quarter 3 target of 15 and 75% respectively for CEOs and primary health care facility managers. By the end of quarter 3, a coaching and mentoring service provider contract has been signed in November with ITIC, and briefing on the coaching and mentoring pilot conducted has been conducted for the senior leadership of 2 targeted provinces. And briefing sessions have also been conducted for 2 out of the 4 targeted pilot sites. The number of managers using Knowledge Hub, the Knowledge Hub information system, the annual target of 200 hospital CEOs and 700 facility managers using the Knowledge Hub. We've not actually gone, they're not using it yet, but briefing sessions on the functionality of the hub has also been conducted for 3 provinces, 1 central hospital and 1 district hospital. Approximately 32 managers have now been briefed in total. Regulations for the rendering of forensic pathology services published. Draft regulations have been finalized and submitted to legal services for their input. The scope of practice for rendering of forensic pathology services. The National Forensic Pathology Services Committee, by the end of quarter 3, has decided on 9 and 10th November to only finalize the draft checklist for the services. So once this is done, they'll be able to finalize it, and then only the publication of the regulations can take place. In terms of health facilities that are designated to render services for the management of sexually for sexual related offences. Here, the cluster has set targets of developing a monitoring system and then getting that monitoring system approved. They've developed a template for monitoring the designation of sexual assault service facilities, and the template has been completed in quarter two and consulted on, and it's now being submitted for approval, whereafter they'll be able to report regularly on the designation of facilities in the provinces. The policy on education and training of emergency services personnel is going well, where the checklist for EMS education and training accreditation criteria had to be developed in line with the policy, and it had to be approved by the National Committee on Emergency Services, and the target has been achieved. Regulations for emergency care centres, checklist to monitor compliance with regulations had to be drafted in collaboration with the specialists. This was done, and draft regulations are now being about to be submitted to legal services and then for submission to the Office of the State Law Advisor for input. Regulations for emergency services in mass gatherings. Here again, feedback has been received from the Office of the Chief State Law Advisor. Comments have been incorporated and will now be translated into a second official language in preparation for promulgation of regulations for emergency services in mass gatherings. Now, the key performance improvement strategies here is actually for the NDOH to acquire technical support to assist in speeding up progress on coaching and mentoring programs for CEOs and facility managers. The registration of managers on the Knowledge Hub will run parallel with the coaching and mentoring pilot, and then briefing, registration and credentialing of service providers will be prioritized for the fourth quarter. The toxicology labs remain a problem. The head of Joburg toxicology post has to be shortlisted, interviewed and post-filled, and then the outstanding procurement at the Pretoria lab can then receive attention. The matter of regulations for rendering of pathology services, as well as the scope of practice for rendering of pathology services, will be prioritized in the next quarter. Now we have one last program, and that is the program on health regulation and compliance management. Here we've achieved all our targets basically related to SAPRA, establishment of SAPRA as an entity. The CEO is about to be appointed. Adverts for the appointment of the CEO of job advert has been finalized, and his job description and adverts for appointment of the board members has been prepared. In terms of establishing an occupational health care cluster which is functional, here we had a number of targets to have an integrated management of the National Institute of Occupational Health, CCOD and MBOD, and an agency agreement with compensation fund service providers. The second target was to develop an agency agreement for claims management, medical assessments and compensation services. I mean, that was another quarter one target, and then to implement in the third quarter the agency agreements. We are only now still at the stage of having a MOU developed between the Department of Health and the mining companies. In terms of NAPISA, the legal framework to establish NAPISA. Here, the annual target was to have comments on the NAPISA legislation and the revised NAPISA bill submitted to Cabinet. The Cabinet memo has obtained Cabinet approval of the NAPISA bill for tabling in Parliament. was submitted to for minister's approval. In terms of improving oversight and corporate governance practices by establishing effective governance structures, policies and tools, by the end of quarter three, 80% of entities and statutory professional councils had systems and policies in accordance with the applicable legislation. In terms of performance management systems for board members of our public entities, performance management systems for the following boards or councils have been implemented: SADTC, the HPCSA, the NHLS, and the AHPCSA, the South African Pharmacy Council. In terms of newly appointed boards inducted and trained, again, we've achieved on our target. Quarter three, we had to have two new boards appointed, but by the end of quarter three, we only had one, but the performance management systems for the councils were implemented for all the councils. In terms of improving oversight and corporate governance practices by establishing effective governance structures, policies and tools, the entities and tools are monitored using dashboards, and they all are now to submit updated biannual dashboards by the end of February. We also have developed a standardized reporting template and for department representatives serving on the boards. So the executive authority, by quarter three, the target was to have executive authority feedback report on board or council activities produced, and the target was met. The feedback reports were produced. And then that's the end of our performance information. Ian will now take us through the financial information.
Thank you, Chair. This is the financial information as at the end of December. I'll mainly concentrate on the economic classification, which is the compensation, goods and services, capital and transfers. And if you look at the slide here, you will see that we had 74% spent. We talk about a linear norm of about 75% when we talk about targets. Compensation is 73%, goods and services 58%, transfers at 75%, and capital at 82%. And then it's a small amount for losses that we've also adjusted in the adjustment stage. The position per program is as such: administration is our first program, sitting at 70% of expenditure. If you go to the various explanations, the underspending in goods and services is that we're still expecting some invoices for the Auditor General to be paid during the last quarter. We also essentially pay bursaries during the fourth quarter as well. And we've taken a project on maintenance of our security system at Civitas, which is also now underway, and the tender has been awarded, and we expect expenditure to come through. On the transfers, there's high spending due to some accruals that we had from the last financial year, which we're trying to manage, and this is why it seemingly has a high expenditure on our transfer payments. The capital payments is that we've got lower spend on our IT and CETA hardware. There's also a chair on this item being some move by the Chief Procurement Officer to negotiate Microsoft licenses, and that has given us some delay, but we expect the payment to also realize in the fourth quarter. Program 2, National Health Insurance Planning Assistance Enablement. In this one, Chair, we're sitting at 76%, slightly above what we call the norm. Our compensation is at 81%. Business services at 75%, transfers at 79%, and capital at 26%. Just looking at some of the reasons, there's a overspend, if you like, on compensation, mainly due to the foreign allowances paid to our health attachés that has been accounted for. And although, Chair, we have a overspend, yeah, you will see that there is an underspend in some other programs, and we will do the environment adjustments in terms of PFMA when we do the final accounting of our financial statements. Transfers and subsidies, although the percentage is there, is mostly due to the payment of legal gratuity to ex-officials. So as officials exit the system, either through retirement or resignations, we do the legal gratuity payments, and this is also part of our disclosure notes and financial statements as part of the leave liabilities that we carry. So we do provide, you know, in terms of the financials for that. Capital, there is some delays in the procurement process for office equipment. So we also try to manage our capital payments in terms of our assets, and we do request programs to commit capital funds before the end of the third quarter. So we do not have a rush in terms of payment of assets and accounting for assets in the last quarter, which gives us, you know, potentially an audit risk. But we have dealt with most of these commitments. On program 3, HIV and AIDS, TB and maternal and child health, we're sitting at 74% of expenditure, compensation at 74%, goods and services at 47%, transfer 75%, and capital, although the amount is small, at 4%. This mainly goes towards the HPV vaccination campaign and conditional grant. Most of our expenditure, second dose expenditure, is scheduled for February, March 2017. We also depend heavily on provinces to claim the expenditure from us, and we have a program where we go out to provinces and actually retrieve the invoices so we can make the payments, and this is the biggest reason for the underspend on goods and services. The contribution to the Global Fund is due in the fourth quarter, and we've got the funds, and we will manage that and pay it before the end of March. And then secondly, there's the World TB Day that's also scheduled for March, and we expect to deal with most of the invoices hopefully by the end of the financial year. The capital payments is mostly due to the delayed procurement of fridges, and we've had significant difficulty in assisting provinces to develop proper terms of references. Specifications, as Jürgen says, and also what the market then gives back to us in terms of specifications, we can't match them to our exact spec. So in many cases, we find that suppliers cannot meet the spec, or the under spec or over spec it. So there's some work to be done, especially on this item. In terms of program 4G, we are 65%. Our compensation is low here. You can see it's 63%. And as I said, we will most likely do an adjustment back to program 2 before year end in terms of the 8% environment condition that we have. But having said that, the reasons essentially is that we're finding it difficult to fill the positions with successful candidates, especially if I remember Jeanette in the environmental area. We have advertised, we've shortlisted, we've interviewed. Many applicants were not found suitable, and we've gone back, and hopefully we can do some headhunting exercise to fill up these positions. Goods and services is slightly over. The scale-up of activity in the communicable diseases, pursuance of the Millennium Development Goals on malaria. I think Gail has referenced that in her performance as well. The payments to NGOs, we're under severe, well not severe pressure, but we're under quite a bit of pressure from the AG to ensure that before any funds are transferred, that the SLAs are finalized and that NGOs also produce previous financial years' financial statements. So some of the delays on NGOs is exactly because of this. But I must say, we do catch up normally before the end of the financial year. And I'm sure the process is to educate our NGOs is also there. On our program 5, Hospital Tertiary Health Services and HR, at 75%, basically on target, if you like. But just looking at some of the economic classifications, as I said, you will see that the compensation at 78%, goods and services at 28%, transfers at 75%, and capital at 86%. See, the issue on compensation for the overspend is that we've taken the cost of some medical interns to be paid on behalf of provinces. Provinces have to reimburse us, and we've done claims back to them. And we also put in interdepartmental, interprovincial claims, which we will record in our financials if we do not receive these funds in time. and that's the biggest reason for the overspend on this. The goods and services one relates to the agency services on infrastructure projects, the DBSA. We have in the fourth quarter, in January, paid a significant amount to the DBSA, of which we expect drawdowns to be done by the end of the financial year. The issue with this one, Jay, is that we wouldn't like a big amount to be lying in the books of DBSA unspent. Otherwise, we have to account for that. So we try to keep it as tight as possible in terms of what we pay them and in terms of what they are able to spend on. The capital payments is slightly over in terms of the health facilities. And Chair, I will come to it. I will discuss it a little bit further when we talk about the indirect conditional grant. Is that when we put out these projects, we have to determine if they are of a capital or current nature. And you know, in many instances, we can only do that after award to some extent. But we do have an agreement with our national treasury that we will be able to also do vibrance between the two classifications, either current or capital, by year end. And you will see that the ground itself is not under threat because of this. Program 6, 74%, basically 75%. All the aspects are more or less on target except for the capital expenditure. So the SAPRA funding has come through. We received 26 million from Treasury during adjustment to deal with the establishment of the SAPRA. The issue of lung equipment lies mostly with the CCRD. We have put out the specifications and the procurement process as has commenced. Personally, I cannot see us spending all these funds before year end, as we still have to go through an evaluation process and an adjudication process. So I think the aim here is to commit it in terms of capital expenditure and then request Treasury, because of it being a capital commitment, for a rollover in the new financial year. Our initial grants at end of December, just to give you a quick summary of this, we were standing at 74% spent, slightly up from our previous year expenditure at 72%. Most provinces are there or thereabout in terms of expenditure. We've got underspent on NHI, and this reason has come up many times, that provinces find difficult to use this grant from a supply chain point of view. And we've made many interventions to them to say, you know, use it if you have to for purchase of equipment, etc. The amounts are not big, but the percentage still remains low. The revived grant is at 66%. Slow performance of contractors, but we'll give you an explanation per grant. And the other grants, the services grant, the training grant, and HIV grant, essentially is on target, and we do not foresee any underspend or overspend on these three. As usual, this is quite a busy slide, but I'll just give you the gist of it. You will see the 74% there is the total expenditure. Chair, you will remember that we also monitor the transfers. We transfer to provincial treasuries, they transfer to our provincial departments of health. And if you recall, I think last year this number that they had not transferred to our provincial departments was close to R1 billion. We've really intervened, you know, in this score, and met with most provincial treasuries to tell them that they have to, you know, release the funds in terms of our DORA schedule, and this has now come down to 300 million. Still a big amount, but an improvement on the last financial year. And provinces keep this back, or treasuries keep this back, if they perceive that provinces won't spend the funds, or there's an underspent by the year, and they feel they can probably invest the funds provincially better than keeping it at the provincial departments. Anyway, so this is quite an important thing for us. It also affects the cash flow of our provinces. The training grant, as I said, was sitting at 73% spent. All provinces more or less in line. KZN probably a little lower at 67%, and Northern Cape at 69%. But we do foresee most of this expenditure coming through. It's mostly to cater for the registrars. We've to some extent had success in provinces getting them to link their personal system properly with this grant, so that there's no need to do these quarterly or monthly journals to account for the expenditure. And you know, while we hate from a finance point of view, why we don't like these journals is because it still creates a bit of an audit risk. Tertiary grants at 77% spent, those are 78% spent. Again, this grant, as you know, is a supplementary to the equitable share expenditure. And you will see in some cases, some provinces have actually received a little bit more than they were supposed to have received, which means that they will have to rectify it by year end. And most of the expenditure might go into the equitable share expenditure. There's a few issues here in terms of the spend by provinces. There are some issues in terms of organograms that need to be completed. The same issue relates to the payment of equipment. In the business plan, there's a provision for medical equipment. And on the medical equipment chair, we've got a project with the national or the chief procurement officer where we'd like to expand the transversal contracts on medical equipment. So many provinces, or most provinces, have got a very low uptake of medical equipment because they have to go out on tender for each and every piece of equipment. So we're trying to standardize that extension equipment list in terms of specifications. But this might still take a bit of a time before we get to that allocations. HIV, sitting at 76% spent. Most provinces in line, Free State probably the lowest, together with Northern Cape. If we look at the issue of Free State and Northern Cape, it's mostly in terms of the payment of NHLS and ARVs from their depots. The issue on ARVs essentially is the allocation between medicines, ARVs and vaccines, and this remains to be a challenge, especially at the Free State. We're quite aware of that, and they need to correct it. They need to correct the inventory and logistics system for proper allocations. The Riva at 66% spent. Gauteng is low at 52%, Limpopo at 51%. Some provinces again spend well, you know, Northwest 81%. Not to say that if your expenditures are high that you're actually doing well on infrastructure, but you know, from a financial point of view, at least suppliers should get paid. It's declined from our last financial year from 71% to 66%. There's some issues in Free State and Northwest on the spending due to bulk payments. Mpumalanga spending within the norm. The others like Eastern Cape, Gauteng, KZN and Pope, North Cape and Western Cape are all below. Western Cape and Gauteng especially has delays in appointment of scarce skills. And you will note, Chair, that within that grant we have allocated, you know, plus minus 36 million per province to find capacity and appoint, and provinces to this extent are finding those processes quite difficult. Again, the medical equipment issue has come up, and we hope with the intervention with the CPO's office, the chief procurement's office, we can address it to some extent. And there's some slow performance by contractors and payment of invoices. And this has been raised especially by Gauteng and Western Cape in terms of the implementing agents being able to process invoices as well as progress on the builds of that. The National Health Insurance grant is 37%. All provinces below the baseline. The problem, I think, for me is that the framework, I think, probably was quite restrictive in terms of what they were allowed to do in doing research papers and some innovations. And we've really encouraged provinces to go further than this and to see what expenditure they can you know, what they can spend on to increase expenditure, number one, but also assist these clinics. And I understand most provinces have embarked on a program of, together with the Ideal Clinic, in spending it on equipment, and equipment that is found to be on the transversal, existing and transversal tenders from National Treasury. Jay, if you allow me, I will go to the indirect grant. This is the grant, the Schedule 6 grant, that is kept by National and that we use then to spend on behalf of provinces. For consistency, let me ignore the commitments and the spend, including commitment, and look at the percentage spent on these grants. You'll see the NHI components, we're sitting at 82% spent, slightly, well, quite a bit higher than the norm. But we've also supplemented this grant with additional funding, especially on the GP contracting area. We're sitting at 81% spend there. We won't overspend this amount. I think we've got enough process in place to manage the overspend. But just to say that you will recall that in the past, this grant was severely underspent. I think we were looking at 2% and 4% spend. So we really got this program running, and we hope to gain, you know, keep this momentum going forward. The revived grant, INAREG 1, is sitting at 65% spent. As I said, you will definitely see the anomaly between the current and capital expenditure. So although the total grant is within, we need to do this reallocation between capital and current almost on a quarterly basis. And the issue becomes an issue for us because the accounting standard says that we have to determine if it's primarily of a capital or current nature, the repairs, and then we have to allocate as such. So most of our equipment, or most of our expenditure, although it might be maintenance, it was classified as a second phase maintenance, which is predominantly of a capital nature. So we will do that reallocation before year end. But the grant itself shouldn't be under any pressure of being overspent. Other clinic components at 53% spent. Again, we've had a drive in the last quarter to do peer reviews, as well as some minor equipment. HPV, as we said, most of the expenditure will come through in the third quarter with the second dose. But we also have challenges with provinces in terms of them having to claim back from us on this grant specifically. Just for noting that there will be some framework amendments in the 2017 financial year, one of which will include the NTSG, the Tertiary Services Grant, which will include funding for the Nelson Mandela Children's Hospital, 100 to 200, 300 over the MTF period. We've actually, since yesterday, upped that 100 to 150 million. The HIV AIDS also includes an allocation for TB. The revived grant, no major changes in terms of the grant framework. We're having a new grant, which is under the Information Systems Grant. All the other indirect grant components stay the same. And the number of indicators have changed in most grants. And this is a recommendation we took mainly from the Auditor General as well, to only start measuring what we actually can measure and not put issues in there that we rely heavily on provinces to give us input into. Chair, that in brief is the financial report. So on both the departmental expenditures and conditional grants, we feel that we're on target. Obviously, there is some allocations within that we have to amend, and we'll do that within the environment provisions of PFMA before the financial year end. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Ian. Chair, I'm not sure how US Chairperson and Honourable Members would like us to proceed. Would we first discuss the performance report and financial report before we move on to the Mom Connect and the health professional placements? These are not long presentations, so I take my guidance from you if we should proceed now.
No, thanks, but well, according to the program, we must discuss this first quarter report. I mean, this third quarter report can dispose of it. Then we come to the two items. Okay, thanks very much for the program. Thanks a lot for the presentation. Here is a presentation for the third quarter, first, second, third quarter, honorable members. Can we have a discussion? Honorable Dr. James, who else wants to make an input? Honorable Snobunyane, Honorable James. So these are the three. Okay.
Thank you very much, Chair, and thank you to
Thank you for the presentations. I had four financial questions. The first has to do with hospital revenue collection, which is on page 10 of your presentation. And where you state where the strategic objective is to strengthen the revenue collection by incentivizing hospitals to maximize revenue generation, and that clearly is quite important. And one, as you know, one revenue stream obviously is for public hospitals to charge patients on medical aid for services rendered. And the difficulty has always been that we don't know what the services cost. So it's not entirely clear how much a heart transplant costs or how much and so on. And so so my question is simply, what does that model look like? And have you solved the cost problem? I've gone to hospitals where they charge very little for a service. They should charge a lot more. And therefore, you need a standardized package with standardized pricing across the private and the public sector for essential services. So it's a question about what that model looks like. You speak about incentivizing. I'd like to know more about that. Then the question of the Office of Health Standards Compliance and where you can't do your work because you're not getting data from them. Now, that is obviously a very serious problem. And my experience with the Office of Health Standards Compliance is a very slow and inefficient body. And it's passive and it's dolorous. And so my question is, what are you going to do about that? Because you cannot be hostage to poor performance in terms of data provision in order for you to do what you need to do. So that's the second question. The third one, the under expenditure that pops up in different parts of the report, page 38, page 57, and most recently we were speaking about supply chain problems when it comes to, I think, clinics. On page 85, the fact that there's under expenditure for NHI-related activities is a great concern. You don't have to disagree or agree with the NHI to say that many components are really important in terms of health promotion, the building of clinics, the staffing of clinics. And when you have serial under expenditure, this is not the first time we've seen this. The question is why? Well, I mean, what's going on in provinces? Why are they not spending money set aside where the overall budget growth for NHI is going to increase in the course of time? So could you please explain what's going on there? And then finally, when it comes to interns on page 67, and you speak about foreign interns, can you just tell us who they are? Which foreign interns? Which countries are they? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, and thank you very much, Kate, for the very long presentation. I was tempted to ask you to drink some water, but it just kept going. Just the one thing, some of the things I'm raising is just a matter of observation. Looking at your targets, you know, in many instances, it's clear that you have overachieved, but the instances where I think you've actually put in very low targets. One of the examples on page 5 here, you put very low targets under the percentage of employees accessing health and wellness, and you've overdone yourself. So it's just by way of really making an observation that sometimes that's the feeling you get. But then when you go to, I think it was, page 39, there is an annual target of 50. It's an annual target of 50, but in three quarters, we are already at 87. Again, it's something that I just made as an observation that it could be a little bit too low. Then the other thing is, you put a target, like here, you say you will have 4 bilateral agreements reviewed in the third quarter. But in terms of performance, you've written so many activities. It doesn't really give one a clear indication that we have actually done what we are saying we are going to do. So instead of using the word activities, it would be helpful to just say what it is that we have achieved in terms of that target that you have set. The other thing, I just marked them. And then the other thing that I would like to just speak to is the trend in terms of capital expenditure. It seems it's a trend that when it comes to a capital expenditure, except in one instance, that there's just continuing underspending. And it's not just in this department. But I think we have a serious problem when it comes to spending on capital, our capital budgets. I don't know why, but again, it's a matter of commenting that it is a matter of concern that we seem to be always underspending on that particular one. And then this, in terms of this percentage backlog elimination for toxicology tests, looking at the targets and the performance for all the quarters, is it because of shortage of staff? I know that we read sometimes in the media that there aren't enough people there. Is this the challenge that you are facing? Because if that is the case, then we are having a serious problem again, because if you have a target of 75 and you can only achieve 5%, it needs a lot of attention. I can imagine that something needs to be done. And then underspending on program one, I just noted that some of the underspending is because the AG has not been paid. When do we pay the AG? Do you pay the AG immediately after the end of the financial year or what? Because it's the very same AG that's going to question you about this under expenditure, and I see that the AG has not been paid. Now, I think I will end there, Chair. Thank you very much. So that's the number of things that we have to do.
Thank you, Chair. I couldn't agree more with my colleague, Honorable Doreen, about the percentages of blood and alcohol toxicology. Can the department provide us as a committee on the performance, staffing, and also technology for blood and alcohol and toxicology tests for the four forensic chemical labs, one in Cape Town, another one in Joburg, and the Pretoria in Durban? Can we get that report? And Chair, we're also interested in the total number of the primary health care facilities in these 52 districts. Because when we hear the number, then we think in one district there are sub-districts within the district, so how many clinics are there that we are really servicing? And one of the questions that really I'd like to know is this mental health is the team in the backdrop of the report that we heard from the ombudsman, what is their relation, what's their relation with this facility, specifically those that look after these mentally ill people. And the ideal clinic rollout, will it ever happen? And how far is the progress on it? And thank you.
This 3,104 functional work. actually functional, or it is just some figures here, that idea? Because when we went to these clinics or to these communities and where we work, we never meet these people, but they are supposed to be there. And most of the ills that happen here is because the people are not there on the ground, but on paper they are here. For instance, yesterday, there are certain areas where people were not getting their medications because the municipality said that the vehicle that they were using to transform this are not working, so people had to walk to the clinics, and they were told this is the second week they are doing this, but they are supposed to be this world-based public health outreach cause. What is their duty, and where are they? Are they just fictional, or they are real home bodies? I haven't met them, but like I'm saying, there are these problems with medication. People are now not getting their medication because they said that the vehicles are not functional. So what's the purpose of having this when you cannot sustain that? And this makes the people angry. That's number one. Only 267 clinics have obtained an ideal clinic status. But okay, fine. They may be kicked because they have 1, 2, 3, 4. But are they really ideal? Do they really serve the purpose that they are supposed to serve? If a clinic has got everything and it was meant to serve 20 people, and 120 people rock up, and you say that's an ideal clinic, they rock up at this ideal clinic, and whatever they're supposed to get there is not there. What do we do about them? And most of the clinics have been built before Paul Kruger was president of the Transvaal, and they are still there. They were houses. And why does it take so long to really transform them into ideal? I mean, I think ideal clinic means they have to have all the other stuff, you know? What do you call it? Cannabis. No, people queue in outside, outdoors in this ideal clinic. There's no shelter for them. But we say that clinic has passed to become an ideal and can be viewed as an ideal clinic. Can we really do something about these things and actually have a program that will make sure that when we say this is an ideal clinic, it really functions, it's got everything. Not today, it's got this, tomorrow, it hasn't got that. And I think maybe if we have a deliberate program to make sure that each and every one that we say is, must be. Now, there is mental problem. And now a whole calamity befell us. What was the department doing all along to make sure that this type of thing doesn't happen? It has happened. Why was it not prevented from happening? Is it because the department just believed whatever it was told and they never bothered to actually verify? Or are you short-staffed, you don't do what you're supposed to be doing? But maybe we will come to that at the right time. But it's just that here you said that district mental health teams have been established to do what? And what are they doing? And where are they doing it? And how are they doing it? Because otherwise, if they were there, this calamitous situation would have been ameliorated somehow along. Even before it becomes calamitous, the first signs of the problem, they would have intervened or just tried to, I don't know. You know, I don't know. We're all liable here. But maybe it will come when we've got the real picture from the Ombuds. The supply chain management, especially equipment and essential supplies and infrastructure, you say it's the main challenge in the clinics. What do we still have main challenges in the 257 ideal clinics, let alone in the others that don't count? And I don't know when they are going to be ideal clinics. Maybe biggie Magmir, but it is not acceptable that you still talk about supply chain being the main problem. Why don't you take 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 10 people per the province and teach them? Make them acquire expertise in supply chain management and deploy them. We can't afford to think that they will just mushroom somewhere. If we have a problem, we go out and solve it, not wait until somebody comes and say, "Oh, I've got chain management skills." You create them. Solve the problem. They may not like to come if they have the documentation because scarce skill. They get somewhere where they get money. But if you create them for specific post, you solve your problem. So maybe the rest we will deal with. But for now, thanks.
No, thanks very much. Well, I would like to also to just pose a few questions. One of the challenges is that for me, the report is just ticking the boxes. That's difficult for me, because just ticking the box. And as a result, I'll raise a large number of issues that will just try to get detailed information so that at least we've got an understanding of practical what we are reporting. Because, for example, what Honorable Maisel has raised around the Warboard teams, we've visited almost 6 provinces now from an oversight point of view. And the picture that we were receiving on the ground is not the same as the reports indicated. In Gauteng, for example, when those Warboard teams are not there, they have not been operating when we're there for more than 6 months, because there was a stalemate between the department and them, and as a result, the system at the time it collapsed. It was not there in the NHI pilot site, because we visited mainly the NHI pilot site. We found the same thing in Northwest. We found the same thing in Free State. And the difficulty and the challenge that is there, especially in relation to this area of work, is because some of these provinces, like the Free State Northwest, some extent Eastern Cape, and Northern Cape, the financial management system is a problem. Those departments, if they were a private company, they would have long, long, long closed shops, because they are not financially sustainable. And that's the biggest problem. They are running the department on, because each year they've got huge accruals. Which accruals, if they would have paid, it would have been an unauthorized expenditure. That's why I always argue, for me, it's not accruals in essence, because they withdrew payment for services. You can go to provinces now, most of them are not paying services. They stopped paying around November for services. December, January, February, March, they are not paying any booty because they don't have money to pay. And they will start paying in the next financial year when they receive money for the new financial year. And that affects services. I'm not sure what monitoring system do you have as a department nationally. Because this thing has been going on and on for some time now. And I don't know when, at what point are we going to say we need to do something about it. Because it can't go on. And I'm not sure whether I want to intervene when it is already collapsed. Because that's where it is leading to. Because these accruals, I mean, these irregular expenditures are increasing year in and year out. And these accruals, so-called accruals, are increasing year in and year out. And because of the, and in most cases, they are even unable to regularize some of these irregular expenditures. Because there's no justification for them to have incurred those irregular expenditures. And I don't feel that as national department you are aware of this thing and you are making any efforts to intervene and make sure that you rescue those provincial departments that are in this mess and this situation. That's one. We've been all year in and year out CFO. Since I arrived here, you've been telling us about one thing, why province are not spending the grants. Procurement. One thing, supply chain. How long are we going to be singing this song? We've been telling us the same story since we arrived in 2014. Till today, we're still talking one and the same thing. There seems to be, I'm not sure whether it's a political will or it's an administrative will, to address this matter of supply chain. Where lies the problem? Are we going to be ever addressing this matter and make sure that this issue of understanding on these conditional grants, it's attended and resolved once and for all. Because it's year in and year out, all the financial years when you are reporting us, you are telling us one reason. Let me just quickly come to the report itself. On page 7, you are saying the white paper is ready. Financial. Does that include the funding module? Because the one that was released, you're still dilly-dallying about the funding market. Is the final one that you are saying now you are submitting to cabinet include the final model? The funding model of the NHI. The issue of TB. I know the minister is not the chairperson, but maybe it's a matter that us as members we must deal with it. There was this signing that we must be part of that caucus. When I was in Kenya in December, we got a report that at least South Africa, all members have signed. But we have not taken the process forward. We ended up signing. We have not established the caucus. Other countries have already had their own caucuses at a parliament level, because we need to have our own caucus. So we have not moved. We've just ended with the signing and then ended there. And as a result, we don't have even a campaign, because the campaign is not just ending on signing and then you end there. There must be a campaign that we then take the process for us, as we have committed ourselves. Maybe it's a matter that amongst ourselves we must discuss how to contribute beyond the signing, and establish our own caucus and how to take the process forward then from there. But we seem not to be doing very well in this area. And we have said we have done some of the work in the mines and what part. Is it possible to get a list of the mines where we have been conducting this work, so that at least we know which mines have you managed to visit? I see on page 13 you are saying you have bilaterals with various countries, that includes UK, Namibia, Botswana, China, Zambia. Is it possible to get what are those bilateral agreement projects and agreement? What does in each area entail? Because just say bilateral and projects. Is it possible to understand what are those, so that at least we've got the picture? What is it exactly? And then you on page 19 you're saying on the neonatal death you are not doing very well, and you're saying there are strategies to care. What are those strategies that you are putting in place? Because you're just saying no, we're not doing well, but there is a strategy. What is that strategy? Is it possible to share with us that strategy so that we were able to monitor and play an oversight over that strategy, and if there is any contribution that we can make, so that we are able also to make a contribution towards the implementation of that particular strategy. And then on page. On page 24, now I've already asked the question, which are those mines that we've managed to do an analysis or you've gone and visited, so that at least we know which are those mines. But we're saying Western Cape and Northern Cape is the one which has reported the highest death in TB. Have you analyzed the reason behind that? And what intervention are you putting in place to make sure that that matter is addressed as a matter of agent? Because we thought Western Cape is not that highly affected. Because in your plan, you're saying you're focusing in the mines around Northwest, Gauteng, because that's where you thought you said is where the highest problem is. Now you are raising the high side is now in the Northern Cape and Western Cape. Well, I've dealt with the warbot, because that number, if it includes Gauteng, it must be misleading. Because where there is Gauteng, if all the clinics that we visited, we say, no, those things doesn't exist. They were there, they collapsed. And then, so how do you define its functionality? Some of us are in constituencies where I've never seen a constituency where I am, I've never seen a robot. Where I'm operating, I've never seen it. And I've visited clinics, and they've never talked about that. How are we talking of just the numbers that were given by provinces, or we've got our own system to track that this thing that provinces are reporting to us are really there on the ground, is functioning, is there, it's happening? Or we're just giving numbers that were just been given by provinces? On page 32, is it possible to indicate that you have said you've done a random monitoring around the salt content around food stuff to indicate which are those 13 categories that you have tested and what have you found in each one of them? And then on page 33, the issue that Dr. Maisela asked about the health, the 7 district mental health teams, where are they? In which districts? are these teams and what are they doing in practice? Do we have some in Gauteng? And if we do have some in Gauteng, why do we find ourselves in the situation in Gauteng if we do have some in Gauteng? And then on page 37, you said we have 3,149 PH facilities that were benchmarked. What was the outcome of the benchmark? Because that's why I'm saying you're just ticking the box. But we don't understand, you have benchmarked, then what has been the outcome of that benchmark? What have you found? And the same thing applies on page 38, where you have the issue that Dr. James raised around the dependence on the Office of the Health Standard Compliance around assessing performance of health facilities, especially central hospitals. You are unable to meet the target, then what next? Have you reached an agreement with, or do you have a memorandum of understanding with, because you can't expect them to do it according to your plan, they've got their own plan. Do you have a memorandum of understanding with them? So that when you decide on a performance target that requires them to do something, you do it because there is a memorandum of understanding between you and them, so that they are able, when they prioritize also according to what you might have agreed upon. That's one. But to those that were found not to be doing very well, what were the weaknesses? And what is it therefore that we are doing as the department to assist them, those hospitals, to be able to meet those standards at the end of the day? And then on page 40, we have so many clinics and CHTs that were saying we've contracted and revitalized. Can we get a list of them? So that you understand where are those clinics and CHC and where are they located at least. So that at least when we were in our either constituent areas, because you might find some of them. I once had an experience when I was in the province as the chair of public accounts committee, where one department reported to have built and handed over a school. Unfortunately, it was in the community, in my constituent area. And there was no such a school. Hmm. It never existed. It was not built as a school. But according to them, they reported that the school is built, constructed, finished, handed over, when the school doesn't exist. So we need to understand as well, because this information, you might not even have seen the clinics yourself in the CSC. You might be telling us information that you are getting it from the officials. One premier in the province went to a community meeting in Mpumalanga and addressed the community that, no, I don't understand why you are complaining, because we have built you a clinic. And one councillor was saying, you know, premier, where you are standing is where the clinic was supposed to be built. Yes. You see? So we need to be sure that this thing we must get the list so that we are able to make our own verification from an oversight point of view that these clinics and these community health centers do exist in practice. The same thing applies with the 18 hospitals that you revitalized. Because we went to some hospitals that are in a very serious debilitating state, that you can't even say this is a hospital in the Eastern Cape, and some in Northwest, yes. So we need to get that list, because you might find some of the hospitals that we found them in that state. You will give us a list of them and get shocked, you see. So we need to have that list so that we don't just tick the box, but we understand that this is the situation. Then on page 42, you are saying the number of managers assisting coaching. I don't understand the performance there. You can just, because you're saying 15-17. But when you say coaching and mentoring provider signed, briefing on the coaching, but that's not the indicator. That's what not supposed to be achieved. I don't understand what exactly I'm saying. Can you just, whether it is nothing that has been achieved. Because the issue was not about the signing of the contract and providers and what. Was about number of managers assessing coaching and mentoring. But I don't see that saying that at the end. It talks about briefing on the coaching and mentoring. Briefing and assessing and assessing that, it's a different thing for me. That applies to the second one around the number of managers using Knowledge Hub information. It talks about briefing on the functionality of knowledge. Here it's about using, not about briefing. You're saying quarter three is 70-250. I don't get exactly what I'm trying to say. If you can just elaborate it further so that we've got a better understanding. Can you explain page 47 vis-a-vis page 70 on the SAPRA? Because I don't understand it. You are saying you are overspending due to the establishment of SAPRA. But you go to page 47, it says you are still finalizing the job description of the CEO, you are still having a draft appointment of the members of the board, and all those things. It means, in essence, you don't have a board yet. You don't have a CEO, you don't have a board in place, but you are overspending on SAPRA because of SAPRA Pro. You are overspending because of SAPRA. I don't understand the issue. So if you can just clarify that vis-a-vis this performance that you are reporting, as opposed to the overspending on SAPRA on the other side. And where are we on this SAPRA story as we speak? Where are we? Are we going to see SAPRA up and running by the 1st of April as promised by yourselves in our last meeting last year? When I say by yourself, I mean the department. Some of you were not there. Most of you were not there in that meeting. Not most of you, all of you that are here, you're not there in that meeting where we promised that by the 1st of April, SAPRA will be up and running. Are we still there that by the 1st of April, SAPRA will be up and running? Can we put our head on the block on that matter? And then on page 48, is it possible to share with us the outcome of the performance management system of all these boards and councils? Because you've said you've done assessment. What have you found in each of these? Are they properly functioning? What is the performance rate and all those matters? So just to get an indication, because to tell us now you've done performance, then what? We need to understand what have you found, because unfortunately I'm not sure whether it's a practice. We don't have, I've not seen since I came here, we've never played any oversight on these areas. We've not played any oversight on whether it be the nation council, whether it be the health professional council, we've not played any oversight. I'm not sure whether it's because the legislation doesn't allow us to do that, or it's a weakness on our side,
or it's a matter that we must rely on you playing and monitoring and then report to us, because I don't even remember you reporting to us about their performance as well. Then lastly, it's around the financial performance. Well, first to emphasize the issue that Honourable Dr. James raised. You see, this NHI has been underperforming for years now. We seem not to be finding the solution to the problem, and we want to implement NHI. How realistic is that? We are unable to implement this small amount of budget as the pilot process. But when you get a report around pilots, you tell us that you are doing very well on pilots, but we are not doing well on that. On that budget for NHI grant. For me, it's a contradiction. But we'll have to get an indication. The issue of underspending as a result of the high vacancy rates as a result of environmental areas. You see, we were in Eastern Cape last year, if I remember, and we met a lot of students who have that specialize in with degrees in environmental areas, and they are unemployed. And we even raised this matter with the PG. But they say you can't find them. What exactly is the area of specialty that you need that they don't have? Those students who are unemployed graduates who are specialized in environmental areas, who are sitting at home as we speak. A large number. The DG was saying then, you don't have capacity to absorb them. But here you are unable to fill the position because you say they are not there. Can we get a clarity around this area? Because we even gave the DG the number that we managed to get hold of. And she said she's going to make intervention because the function doesn't rely with the department, it's with the districts, municipalities, and all those things. But here you are underperforming in terms of filling vacancies because you can't find them. So just let's get just a clarity around this area. The issue here, NGOs, the SLNA, my understanding is that I don't understand why the SLNA should be a problem. Because before you enter into agreement with them, you sign a service level agreement. I don't understand why you enter with why you agree with them without having done that process, and then at the end of the day, therefore, you are unable to pay because you are unable to finalize the service level agreement. How do you appoint them without the service level agreement? How do you go about it? Because I thought one of the conditions for appointing them should be the service level agreement. But you seem to be appointing them, then later you enter into service level agreement. That applies to this issue, organogram, CFO, understanding because there's a problem around organogram in some district hospitals or what. I don't understand it, because how do you budget something that is not planned? Because you must develop an organogram, then you cost it, then you budget for it. But it seems to be the other way around. You budget for it, then from there you start developing it. Is that the proper way of doing things? Because I would have thought you have to develop it, cost it, then budget it. So that you don't have a situation therefore where you are unable to spend because you are still struggling to develop it and then be able to budget for it. No, those are my comment. Thanks very much, and then we'll break for tea, and then allow yourself to put your heads together and decide who will answer what, and then we'll break for how many minutes, Secretary?
secretary is advising that it is lined so the pastry is